If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to IGN's Unlocked podcast. Every week we're coming at you with the latest and greatest Xbox news. Lots to talk about this week here on episode 380. Apex Legends, a new Titanfall universe game, just Titan drops right into your Xbox console, and it's out. We're playing it. It's awesome. We'll talk all about that. Plus, Destin and I had a chance to go play a bunch of Crackdown 3 at a preview event. We'll talk about our impressions of that. Plus, out of nowhere, ridiculous news about Xbox Live coming to the Switch. You heard me correctly. All that and a lot more coming up on Unlocked this week. Ryan McCaffrey here. Destin Legarry there.
Bam. Hi, everybody.
Mark Medina, good to see you.
I've heard Destin say bam like five times. Is that like a thing?
It's a thing now.
It's a thing now. Okay.
I did it once and it's stuck.
I'm back, everybody. Hello.
Good to see you. Yeah, Brandon Tyrell, unfortunately, snowed in.
Yeah.
North of here. Yeah, along with a lot of the rest of the country. It says it is cold.
Mm-hmm. It's even cold here.
It's even cold here. Of course, there, people in the Midwest would disagree with that sentiment.
So, yes, it's like I grew up in the Midwest. This is not that cold, but it's California. And
it's California
like,
cold.
Gotten used to this nice, like, mild temperature just every single day. And when it gets cold, you get cold.
Yeah.
What's good is Brandon Tyrell went on a trip with, like, eight other IGN employees. Our office is just empty right now.
Ghost town. And so, yes, Miranda Sanchez, hi.
Hello.
Hi. Well, let's get started. We've all played Apex Legends. The cat made its way out of the bag over the weekend. We went to see this. Actually, Brandon went to see it along with a couple of guys from your team, Destin, to see this game last week down in L.A. Respawn, the makers of Titanfall, have a new Battle Royale game called Apex Legends, and it just got announced and released at the same time on Monday. So it's out. You can, again, it's like 25 gigs on Xbox. Just go download it, start playing, have fun. Reactions seem to be very positive so far.
Yes. I've had so much fun. So I'm doing the guide for this. I'm trying to like play as much as I can. And it's kind of how you have to do it with Battle Royales. You can't just look at it and like, oh, yes, I know what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. Just like, let me learn this. And the nice thing is that Apex Legends has like a great level of complexity to it because it is kind of like a weird mix of hero shooter with Battle Royale. I say that because it is so focused on having these characters. So you have eight characters and you have to kind of form a good team around them. Because you have to play in like a squad of three. Like, you don't have any other option.
No overlapping characters either.
And no overlapping characters. So there is a level of strategy there. And, like, learning the nuance to each character is really important to see, like, how you can get out of a firefight or how to take the advantage. So it's really cool to see, like, these unique abilities. And, of course, Respawn's, like, kind of emphasis on movement in this unique setting. And I don't know. I'm just having so much fun.
Yep. Yeah. The most I've heard is, like, it's Blackout meets Overwatch, and it's a pretty apt assumption because it really is. It's a first person, you know, polished battle royale with hero shooters. There's eight heroes. All of them have an ability that recharges fairly quickly. All of them have their ultimate.
Well. Yeah.
But even further than that, they talk to each other. They say funny things to each other when they're in proximity. It also feels a lot like Unreal Tournament because I used to play Unreal Tournament back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
And there was those announcers and stuff like that. And that happens in this game. Like, I was playing with one of our tech guys, Alexio, and he kept freaking out every single time the circle would close. Because on Call of Duty, it's just like, you know, set rep, circle's closing. It's just like, whatever, right? Where on this one, it's like a female announcer's voice, and she's like, the circle is closing. And it's like this like announcery type thing. And he's like, what's happening? And I'm like, the circle's closing.
So the cool thing with that too is that it echoes because it's like coming from multiple points throughout the map. Like there's just such a great level of detail and refinement here that you haven't really seen in a lot of other battle royales at their launch. Mm-hmm. And so it's like really impressive to see like how they've obviously been paying attention to a lot of the criticism around other games. So like with Blackout when it came out, there's a lot of issues with armor, right? And it's really cool to see how they already have an answer to what they wanted to do with that, because there are items you can pick up to recharge your armor and just like keep it with you, or you can like find new upgrades, and like there's like loot areas that are higher loot or lower loot, and it kind of tells you that too. So like there are areas that are like more coveted because you know there's gonna be better things. There's like another like detail that I love is that all the ammo is colored. It's not just whatever numbered rounds or what, like, you know, like the very obscure but very realistic kind of names for ammo. It's just, this is light, this is heavy, this is electric. And it's like very straightforward. And that helps so much when you're just trying to run through these maps and pick things up.
And even when you shoot somebody, the number, the color of the number, or the damage indicator changes to that tells you, you know, a little about them as
well.
It'll
tell you like what kind of armor they're wearing. You know, if they're wearing armor at all. And there's a lot of like, you know, like the movement of this game is just, it's crazy. There's zip lines everywhere that you can just run and push square, and you're just like, you're zip lining out of a battle.
I also I like the classic Titanfall sliding too. You get a nice hill and you can just slide.
There's no fall damage in the game, so you can just jump and do whatever you want. But then there's like little quality of life things, like something like with Blackout, you have a K9 or whatever, and it's fully equipped, and then you see another gun. Not that you'd ever switch out the K9. Don't do that. but you see another gun. You're like, okay, I want to put all my attachments on this gun. So what you have to do is you have to open your menu. You have to hold square, whatever platform you're playing on. And it drops the gun and all the attachments. You pick up the new gun, put all the attachments on. In this game, it just puts your attachments on the new gun. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it keeps you moving. It's not a lot of just like, now I got to stand here and do inventory movement. And like when you push start while you're sprinting, You auto run. Don't just have to stand there.
Yes, CJ Gibson was one of our folks that went down to the event last week, and I did. I hosted our, you know, we did a live stream reveal around this because we knew it was coming. And that was one thing CJ brought up, which perked my ears up because I'm old and I like, you know, I'm an old first person shooter, competitive first person shooter guy. So CJ said, yeah, it's kind of like the battle royale game for arena shooter fans. And I was like, oh, really? That sounds excellent. And when I jumped in last night, I did the training and I just did one, only had time for one round, but I definitely got that sense where it, you know, because I remember a year ago, Destin, watching you play the then pretty broken version of PUBG on Xbox One and just seeing like, you know, there's the cumbersome inventory, man. And I'm just like, I don't want.
That's intimidating.
I'm not interested in that at all. And so, yeah, it's more streamlined. So if you're an arena guy like me.
I think the biggest intimidation that comes out of this one, if you're moving from Blackout, is just how many items are in the game.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many items in this game.
There's a lot of items, and I think having roles with the characters and their abilities and trying to mesh it all together, it makes it a lot more complex as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you face somebody who knows how to use their character really well, or their legend as they're called, then you're going to probably be outclassed, because having that is such a big part of it.
I'm being pretty quiet because I haven't gotten a chance to play
yet. Yeah, I know.
But, I did get to see Steven play a little bit, and talking about the quality of life stuff that you guys mentioned, the real subtle thing that I really, really liked is that if you get an attachment that's better, it won't let you pick up the worst attachment.
It's so good.
And I'm like, why didn't anybody do that before?
You have a better version of this.
Yes, you're good.
I think if I could offer one bit of constructive criticism, and again, I know I've only done the training in one game, but I really haven't played battle royales. Just for various reasons, I've just never really hopped in. Mm-hmm. And so just hopping into this last night, I am a Titanfall veteran. I've played a ton of both one, and I reviewed one
And obviously there was no single player in one. So I've played plenty of Titanfall multiplayer in my time. The training was helpful, but I would have liked to have seen it go a lot farther.
I agree.
Meaning like, so when I did the training and then when the match actually started, I go in with my two other teammates, you know, the squads of three, and I got put in charge of the jump. So it's like, okay, I jumped and sort of steered us to a spot. And then when we hit the ground, I was just following the other two guys around because it's like, I literally don't know what to do or where to go other than like if I see an enemy, shoot them. So they're going around opening crates and they were throwing down a bunch of weapons and ammo and I would pick stuff up and hit the little D-pad to be like, hey, thank you, trying to be a little polite about it. But yeah,
there's like, so many like emotes and stuff you can do.
So great. Yeah, like
those are great. Being able to mark everything on the map.
And, you just look at it. You tap R1, and then it shows up on the mini map. Mm-hmm. Armor here, level one.
Yeah, which is great. So I for this and I guess all battle royales, I'd maybe love to see a little bit more. At least make it optional, sure, but maybe more thorough onboarding.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange to say that there is no explanation of what you're doing in this. They assume that you understand what a battle royale is, which is fair. But if you're like some person just going on saying, oh, this game's being talked about a lot. It's a shooter, right? Let me just download it. And you don't have a complete understanding of like what that is. Somehow, if you don't know Fortnite, you know, like there's a lot of reasons why you don't know the nuances of what a battle royale entails. Like you don't know what the ring is. Like what happens when you get caught outside? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. It's just a little weird that they don't have a step-by-step, hey, here's what this is.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for you for a second.
Do it.
And I think there's something to be said for having you learn that stuff by playing the game more and more. So many games are too hand-holdy, and sure, I think
I completely agree.
But an optional tutorial video, like, that's fine. Like, if you've never played a MOBA and someone's like, here's this MOBA, and you need to learn by playing, which you do, but if you didn't have, like, here are your towers, and, like, you need to go destroy the space.
I played a MOBA once, and then I never played it again.
I'm comparing it like that because, like, there's a level of complexity there that, yes, you understand what that is if you are in the gaming community and, like, very involved, but if you're even remotely just a little removed from something or just don't know what something is because like there's not it's not plastered everywhere then it is hard to know that and like just having a little bit of extra help is I think fine.
I agree,
especially a free-to-play game. It's just like have a little intro video. Like,
Destin, I don't fundamentally disagree with your devil's advocate position because believe me I'm especially in the 360 era, I think we've kind of rubber banded back away from it a little
bit. Is how you reload,
but yeah, like
I get it.
The 360 era was got very, very, very hand-holdy to the point where it was like, come on. You know, it's just as instruction manuals went away, they put all this, like, okay, press B to duck. Like, okay, I get it. But yeah, there's so much complexity to any battle royale and certainly to this one where I think, Miranda, you're right on point. It's like I could have used an optional additional layer, whether it's like a practice match with bots. And I know that would have been an insane effort for Respawn to make like to put bots in the game, but
I think they could see them doing like a weird after the fact tutorial. So at the end, like you're just done, right? You kind of go through, and sorry, I'm speaking of the tutorial. Like you go through, you kind of learn how to shoot, pick up weapons, all that good stuff. And then I could see where at the very end, after you do like the movement and very basics, like there's a place where you could go sit down and like watch an intro video of like what the hell you're doing in this game after you've learned how to move. Mm-hmm. And or you could just like leave. I think like having that option would be really good for like newcomers or people just don't really know what's going on in this game or want to learn about more of the nuanced things about this battle royale in particular.
I guess being able to maybe segue straight from the training to spectating a match would help, but I guess that still wouldn't necessarily explain everything to you.
Just drop in and die.
But I guess I don't want to get away from.
I can tell you how to do that quickly.
Yeah, I don't want to get away from the point of we're all. This is super fun.
Yeah, it is.
This game is super fun, and it's totally free.
There are definitely issues, though. Like, ammo's been kind of an issue, but ammo management's important.
Yeah, and that ammo is scarce.
I'm really interested to see how they find the balance of that, because I do like that scarcity and, like, that, hey, you need to really prioritize how you're using your ammo and, like, how you're scavenging and sharing with your teammates. Like, maybe don't all have the same weapon type, because that's kind of hard if you're scavenging together. And I'm curious to see how they go about balancing it. I know a lot of people have also been reporting that they've mostly just been finding pistols. I've seen a lot of pistols.
I was like, why do I feel like every time I'm playing this game, I'm just like, I have pistols half the game.
Good with some pistols, man.
But the pistols are all different. They all do. There's a shotgun pistol.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, so there's definitely issues, and it's nice because Respawn already posted like a day one analysis of like, hey, here's all the feedback we've received so far. Here's what we're going to look into next, and we're going to keep, you know, working on this game because that's what Battle Royale.
The one thing I would change right now, and I think it's probably coming. Blackout did this as well to manage server loads. There's only 60 people on the map. I don't know if that's why Respawn's doing that, but I know Blackout specifically was like, we're going to make it where there's like only 80 people for now because like server loads, this game may be designed for 60, but the map's
is huge,
enormous for only 60 people. And I'm talking like, I'm not even square footage, but then most of the map is like double and triple levels, which triples the map size most of the time. The map is enormous for how many people
are. Yeah, I mean, literally one game last night, you know, I followed my teammates who were level 4, level 5, so they knew what they were doing better than I did. Followed them around, and I didn't even pull the trigger for probably the first, I would say, 5, maybe even closer to 10 minutes before we finally encountered somebody.
I would say a few of my games last night was just getting super geared because we never found people.
I feel like I'm just landing in like hotter zones or something because I am constantly
in the thick of it.
Yeah, there's only one time when we didn't encounter someone super quickly. And that's because we purposely chose to go to a corner of the map that was really far.
Yeah.
I could see maybe them adjusting how fast the ring closes to help with that a little bit because it does feel like it's rather long between each round. So I could see that.
Mark, do you think, given the size of the map and the squads of three and the fact that Battle Royale has traditionally been 100 player, that's sort of the default definition. You think they might scale it up to 99 players?
That's what I'm, I mean, I guess, huh? If it's squads of three, it has to be 99. Like, I think the map totally has room to fit 100 people. Like, it's a very big map and there's a loot everywhere. There's a lot of loot in the game. You find these loot caches every time you turn a corner. So, that's my only thing is like we purposely when you are still waiting to drop, it'll show you a circle and it'll show you like this is where there's like high tier loot. We just started dropping there because then it's like at least we know we'll see people.
Yeah.
Because we were just like we'd get geared up and then it'd be like, yeah, like 5-10 minutes. And then it'd just be like, man, where are these guys? Where I have not heard a shot. Where is it?
Yeah, I would just hear like the PA announcer be like, "Oh, the leader has been or whatever the high
right.
The top person has been taken down," and was like, "All right, well, I didn't hear or see anything. So I'll just keep playing." Thanks. But yeah, good stuff. So Apex Legends 25 gig download, totally free. It'll have microtransactions. We actually have a video.
Do we want to talk about this at all?
If you have stuff to say, we do have a video we can just tell people to go watch that we shot. But they're certainly doing their best to be fair and not gross about them.
It seems like Fortnite. It seems like if you could probably put 100 hours in this game and never spend money if you don't want to.
Yep.
Or you can spend a ton of money.
It's easy to unlock things.
Yeah, they have a battle pass.
Yeah,
they've got
Right now, like there is an unimaginable amount of skins in the game. Like if you just go to your character, every character has like 25 skins, which is a lot.
They also have different voice lines you can unlock and
the taunts, right?
And taunts.
And then every
taunts for like your execution animation, which is essentially what it is, and they're very cute. I like them a lot.
Those are weird. Yeah, you die and then they
have you done that?
Something. It's very strange. I haven't done it. I've had it done to me.
Oh, okay. So you can actually get it canceled if someone comes up and attacks you. So you can you can stop that. Good tip. Make sure you save your friends. But if you perform on somebody else, I think if you do it successfully, you get an item. I'm assuming because that's what happened one time when I did it successfully and I was actually paying attention. I'm pretty sure I saw a health pack drop, but I need to double check and make sure that's actually a thing. Because if it is, that's really cool. Like a nice reward for successfully being cool.
So it's off to a flying start. Respawn tweeted late yesterday that they were at 1 million. I don't know if it was concurrent.
They reached a million unique players.
That's what it was. Thank you. Yeah. And then Vince Zampella, the head of Respawn, tweeting this morning that doubled overnight. So 2 million players. 2 million uniques out of the gate. That's a strong start.
I think it could be big. It's a triple A first person. It's black. You know, I'm not going to say it's Blackout, but it's, you know, it's if you're tired of Fortnite, this is here for you.
Do we know? I mean, I don't want to make it like a peeing contest, but do we know the player numbers for Blackout? Like just as a sort of
no idea.
A context? No. So, but 2 million in any context,
that's great,
is real good. Now, the one other interesting bit about this is some people are wondering, okay, well, it's set in the Titanfall universe, but it's not a Titanfall game because there are no Titans and there's no wall running, but it's, you know, very much feels like Titanfall. It's actually a fun random fact, I think. Pretty sure this is a fact. You know, EA's policy, their corporate thing, is every EA game uses their own proprietary Frostbite technology, which of course, which DICE made and EA acquired them many years ago now. Apex Legends is the only new game in the EA portfolio that I'm aware of that does not use Frostbite, because it's the Titanfall tech, which is based off of Source, Valve's Half-Life engine. Yeah. That's how far back it goes.
And it's really popular. Imagine that. Maybe stop making people use Frostbite.
EA originals don't count, because that's just like the indie label, and EA just publishes those games. Those games aren't Frostbite. But I don't know, I just thought that was a little strange. But
Remember, gosh darn, now I can't even remember what it's called, but the other game is supposed to get a Battle Royale.
Battlefield. Firestorm.
How did I remember? Like, yeah, I can't remember what it was called. Firestorm.
About Firestorm.
Yeah,
it's supposed
that?
To be out in, I don't know when, in March. They
it's coming,
out, but
it's kind of weird.
Yeah,
I forgot about Firestorm.
I wonder. Did EA just cannibalize their own battle royale?
I'll be honest. Like, I kind of forgot Battlefield
really
5 ever
timing.
Even came out. Like,
honestly, yeah.
I played it like for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good point though. Like, now it's true. You know, they are both EA games, and the Firestorm set itself apart enough. Not saying like be better, just be different enough from Apex here.
Is EA gonna look and be like, do we really need Firestorm now?
I mean, they can't back out of it.
Yeah.
They can't do that, but. Yeah, that is an interesting one.
This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff, like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlockd. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall, it's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
The one other interesting thing that came out of this was that Titanfall 3 is apparently not in development. Respawn's Drew McCoy told Eurogamer, again at the event last week, "The world thinks we're making Titanfall 3, and we're not. This is what we're making." So, you know, a lot of people immediately went to, oh, you know, Battle Royale killed Titanfall. So forget all that. This, play Apex. Give it a try. It's free. But I believe Drew McCoy that it's not in development, but I think I do genuinely believe we will get Titanfall 3.
Yeah, I mean, like, it could be on a drawing board somewhere, but it's like Apex didn't happen overnight. Like, I was watching some pro streamers play it, and I was watching Shroud, and he was talking about how he played Apex Legends 7 months ago. Like, and like, for most of us, Apex Legends was a thing that happened on Saturday, technically.
Yeah.
and then was here on Monday. Like, very fast turnaround for this what is now a huge game. And it's like, but this has been in development for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my thinking is it will happen on next gen. And to my point earlier, I think they'll rebuild it. They'll do it from the ground up on the Anaconda, you know, the Scarlet family, mm-hmm. with Frostbite, you know, because they are an EA-owned studio now. So that's what I think they will, at some point, you know, whether they staff up another team or, you know, because obviously Apex will get supported for a long time. The question, you know, I don't know how large a team they need to do that. But, yeah, I think there'll be a Titanfall 3 made in Frostbite from the ground up for next gen at some point, even if it's, and I do, obviously, I believe, Drew, that it's not in development now. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, what if
he's got a lot going on.
What if Apex blows up? Like, if you look at Epic, like, they canceled Paragon.
That's
they
right.
say it wasn't related to Fortnite.
But it 100% was.
Fortnite is their thing.
Yeah.
Now. Like, what if it ends up becoming, like, this huge thing?
Then Titanfall 3 probably won't happen. Because, of course, if you're running a business and you've got, you know, maybe you were known for one thing, but then you put out a new thing and that new thing's making you exponentially more money, of course you're just going to double down on the new profitable thing.
Mm-hmm.
No one would fault them for that.
Right.
I don't think we're going to get Titanfall 3.
No?
I think it's if we do, it's going to be years away and they probably won't call it Titanfall 3.
That's what I was thinking too. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to stick with that linearity, because it seems like Titanfall 2 didn't do super well for them. Like, we loved it. Like, it was great, but it just didn't perform super well. And like, a lot of that was because I think the release time was just awful.
Well, yeah,
like,
we've been
it's
over
just
that.
Like, let's sandwich between a bunch of big shooters.
Battlefield 1 and
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty and Gears came out.
I think if Apex turns out to have legs, and it seems like you guys are being really positive about the initial release, and it was number one on Twitch the other day, I think we see Apex Legends support and maybe Apex Legends further be developed as opposed to begin working on a new Titanfall.
Yeah. But I agree, like, it kind of really doesn't make sense to call it Titanfall 3, because, like, Titanfall 2 is not a sequel to anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like Battlefront. Like, it's an added campaign that was great.
That's true.
But it's not a sequel to Titanfall 1, so why call this new one Titanfall 3?
Yeah.
Well, at the same, all I would say is, I mean, it is a beloved universe, and, like, the whole hook of the Titans and the wall running and those mechanics are just too good to leave behind.
They're
way too good to leave behind forever. So,
but there's something that just didn't catch. Otherwise, Titanfall 2.
We'll see.
The manufacturer level, the portal level, that's the stuff that only really works in Titanfall.
I still blame the release date. I'm just like, that timing was just so bad. It killed it. Like, there was no player base.
While the industry is very hits driven, you're absolutely right, Destin.
I love Titanfall, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Being realistic.
I mean, we have seen EA give a series multiple chances. I mean, Dead Space went to three games before kind of petering out. Even remember EA published and I don't know if they funded, but there was Crysis, and there were three of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just being gooey-hearted optimist, but I think Titanfall 3 will happen because I just can't I can't allow myself to think that the Titanfall and wall running mechanics, are going to be left behind forever. Although maybe we'll both end up being right, and maybe just they've said that they, you know, Titans and wall running just didn't work in Apex. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll find a way to evolve those mechanics into Apex at some point along the way. But
maybe the next Titanfall will be called Apex.
You never know. You never know, but yeah.
Not related, but while we're dreaming, I'll take a new Dead Space.
Mistral's gone, my friend. I would not hold your breath on that.
Burnout. New Burnout, too.
Michael Condry's just got that new studio.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Right?
So. Who did he go to again? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we have it on here, so we'll have that, later.
All right, Destin, Crackdown 3. We did it at a preview event. The coverage, as we teased last week, went up. So, yeah, I mean, the history of the game is what it is. We've all been watching it for the last 5 years. You know, you saw it.
Yeah.
The multiplayer tech demo
Playground like
3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I played single player and co-op at two E3s ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so did all bunch of other media. And again, the impressions that came out of that were very kind of mixed and you know, not necessarily glowing. So I think you and I going into this were really hoping, because neither of us had seen it in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or at least a year and a half. And I think we're just hoping, man, hopefully this thing after all this time has come together and will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did it?
And we played an hour plus of the Wrecking Zone multiplayer, which is the whole cloud thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power of Joseph Staten, the franchise creative director, said it's that one multiplayer match with all the physics and destruction. It's the equivalent of 12 Xbox Ones powering that. So we played a bunch of that.
Yep.
And then we played about an hour or so of single player as well. Where did you land on it?
Yeah, so playing the multiplayer, it was really, really interesting and fun to see that the destructibility was still intact. It was different. Like, you can still smash through walls and you can blow up the statues and such. And that's where we began our demo. They're just like, hey, here's multiplayer, just play that for a while. I didn't feel like it really grabbed me, though, but kind of by the end of the demo, like, I really wanted to check out the campaign.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, can we just go to the campaign now? And they're like, oh, no, we still have half an hour left of the multiplayer session. I was like, okay, like, I'll keep going and check it out. So I sort of started messing around with the destructibility and being a little bit more experimental. There's something there. It's okay. You know, like, that's the most enthusiastic I can get about the multiplayer aspect. And then on the campaign side, the campaign, it really, really feels like a game of its time, like when the original
2007.
Came out. Yeah, when the original game came out, it feels like you're playing the original game today. But it introduces you to the world.
For better and for worse, you're saying.
Yeah, for better and for worse. Yeah. It introduces you into the world with this sort of tutorial level, which is really weird. Like, it doesn't really throw you into the action. It kind of throws you into, here's how leveling up works. You're starting over with your powers and abilities. You gotta gear up again. You gotta learn how to make your cars transformable.
I liked that, though, because they offered us at the event.
Well, I don't like that it's a tutorial. Like, just throw me into the action. Let me choose.
Well,
what
didn't
I
you
do.
Learn? Ryan Destin hates tutorials.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I didn't have any issue with the because they offered us. We could either start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Start fresh, or we have some characters that are like leveled up and so well into the world. And I
did that initially. I jumped into the character well into the world, and literally the whole map was clear, so there were no enemies for me to fight. Everything was peaceful.
Oh, no.
And I asked the demoist, I was like, hey, what am I supposed to do in this mid-game build? And he's like, I don't know.
Just live,
like,
whatever.
I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, I don't know where to go. Can you direct me a little bit? And he's like, and we never really came to a conclusion. So I'm just in this empty world with. So I went and fought
some
people.
Just take a walk, you know?
Yeah. So I went to an area apparently I wasn't supposed to go in because everything one shot me. And I'm like, I'm just going to restart it myself. Yeah. I restart the demo and
yeah, we both
I did
played
the intro.
From the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll pick up there with you. I agree with you that it feels like Crackdown 1 for better and for worse. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's what you're looking for and that's going to make you happy, great. It's not a game that I think really, you know, remember this game was at one point going to ship alongside the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they
delayed it.
That would have been even if it wasn't sort of intended to be a sort of X flagship, that would have been probably, that would have not gone well.
Yeah.
had this been the it's not a technology showpiece, and that's okay.
So if you're watching right now, Ryan's collecting orbs.
Yeah, this
right?
is the beginning of the
Immediately,
game.
There was like this gamer instinct in both Ryan and I's brain where we started doing orb-related things.
And that's all I wanted to do. And in fact, the enemies were just kind of getting in my way and collecting the orb.
So actually, I will say that part of powering up your character is still intact. You're still incentivized to do that. So like if you want the specific targeting with your gun, that's one thing I really enjoyed was like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to use my gun now, but I'm not only going to use my gun, I'm going to kick him at the end, so I power up my strength and I also power up the gun, and I'm like, all right, there's a little something here.
I mean
that did get me excited.
I think the campaign will be the most liked. I think it will be the best part of the game, because coming around to follow up on your comments on the Wrecking Zone multiplayer, it was very okay. You know, I agree, like we were they started us with multiplayer, and I literally asked at one point, so when are we moving over to campaign? I did that in a very polite way, but I'd had enough of that multiplayer after
it was one half map an hour. It was one map over and over again,
one map
for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
It was an hour and a half, which again, you know, I'm not and it's the thing I have, like, yes, the destruction works, but my issue with it, if you want to call it an issue, is that I just don't think that destruction really added anything to the game. Meaning, if when you shoot through the buildings or smash through the buildings, the classic old Kool-Aid Man commercial where he bursts through the wall, and it's a styrofoam wall because it's a cheesy 80s commercial. That's what it feels like. When you smash through buildings, it's like they're made of styrofoam. It doesn't feel heavy. Impactful or heavy or even that tangible. It's like crushing bits of cardboard.
Right. So it sounds more like a gimmick than like an exciting feature.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that was my initial impression of it.
In addition to what you're describing, on my side of the experience, I ran into a lot of frame issues. It was dipping sub 30 for sure. And I was like, okay, there's a lot of processing going on. I kind of get it.
We were both on Xbox One X's.
Yeah, we were. On the weight issue, I remember when I was blowing up the statues and just kind of watching them fall, they just kind of like fall really slowly and it seems softly. And I'm like, I expected more of a spectacle.
The power of the cloud.
Yeah.
It's gentle.
Yeah, and again,
when we did the demo back at Gamescom, we blew up this building
three years ago when it was first shown off.
And
I was super excited about this potential of this tech. And it just seems like now you just smash through walls and break line of sight to break off the targeting.
Yeah. And so to be crystal clear, like, we don't hate the game by any stretch, but
I'm still going to give it a shot. I'm still going
to
play it.
But to be clear, we also don't love it so far, based on what we've been seeing so far. It's fine. Like, I had a line written in my preview that I ended up taking out because I thought it was a cop out and I didn't think it was fair. So I'm going to say this with just sort of that caveat is it. And I actually did see other. I went and read other previews, which I don't always do, but I was just curious. Hey, did everyone kind of were we the only ones that were sort of meh on this, or were other people really down on it or really positive on it? And everybody was kind of about where we were, like you know, either some people really liked the multiplayer and didn't like the single player. Some people really liked the single player, didn't like the multiplayer, and some people were kind of, you know, just in the middle on on both. And but yeah, what I was going to say was it feels like a Game Pass game. And I don't say that in a derogatory way.
Well, it's kind of derogatory to the game and to Game Pass at the same time somehow.
Game Pass is great.
But just in the sense of, like, 10 years ago or even maybe 20 years ago when I was a kid, it's like it's a Game Pass game, or it feels like a Game Pass game is like the modern equivalent of saying it's a rental.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like it's short. You're not going to want to play it for more than a month. Because you can go to the store and you can buy the game for $60, or you can, if you've never had Game Pass, get it for $1 for a month, or it's $10?
$10 a month, and you probably, if you're a hardcore Xbox gamer, you probably already have Game Pass.
Yeah. And so for $10, you get Game Pass, and it's like, are you really going to play Crackdown 3 more than a month?
The new Forza Horizon was on Game Pass also. It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, all first party games. Yeah. Halo Infinite's going to be on Game Pass on day one.
Which is
Gears
bonkers.
5 later this year. So, yeah, I mean, I got most of the comments I got were you know, just
level-headed.
People were saying, "Hey, thanks for, you know, letting us know." And you know, there's that contingent of people who, you know, whether they just really want the game to be good.
So
they were yelling at us saying, "Oh, you know, you went in already with your mind already made up," or this. And it's like, no, that's not. Destin and I went in. We played the game that was presented to us.
I literally did not have time to take this appointment, and I'm like, I really want to see how Crackdown is.
And you know, so it was okay. It's not great. It's definitely
sometimes
not terrible.
Games are just okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
And that's okay.
But I like you, Destin, I will, when the final copy arrives, I'll be honest, unless I'm reviewing it, I will probably not play that multiplayer again. Mm. But I absolutely want to spend a good amount of time with that single player because I want to go
collect the orbs.
Get all the orbs.
Get the power-ups.
That's the fun
get
part.
Get swole.
Yeah, but that game, by the way, that game is out in 10 days.
Wow.
Crackdown 3 is finally here.
February 15th. Which is like, it's one of those things.
What a perfect day, right, Mark?
I have no interest in Crackdown already, and it's coming out on what is possibly the biggest game of the biggest day of the year.
Like Far Cry, Jump Force, Anthem for Origin Premier members. Yeah.
Metro Nothing Exodus.
Metro, yeah. What a slow day.
So many games coming out.
I just realized
and I'm like, I really don't see where Apex Legends just came out. I'm like, I have no idea where I'm going to find time for something like that.
Looking for in-depth discussions about the process of making video games from the very people who actually make them? Then IGN is happy to present Starburns Audio's upcoming podcast, Humans Who Make Games. Hosted by comedian and Adam Ruins Everything star Adam Conover, Humans Who Make Games offers insight into the origins of games like Spelunky, Binding of Isaac, and more from the people who made them. The first episode will be with Binding of Isaac developer Edmund McMillan. Stay tuned for more from Humans Who Make Games on IGN, and be sure to subscribe to the show's Apple Podcasts feed for new episodes as they debut.
We've been yammering for a while here, and there's actually a lot more to get to, so let's just jump right to it. This was the out-of-nowhere story of the week,
right?
And the tip of the hat goes to Windows Central for spotting this on the GDC panel website. Xbox Live is coming to iOS, Android, and the Nintendo Switch. And yes, you heard me correctly. Mm-hmm. Xbox Live on the Nintendo Switch. This is a GDC panel description. Now, GDC happens in mid-March here in San Francisco. There'll be developers coming to town en masse to, you know, meet up and do panels. And it's a great event. I love it every year. Mm-hmm. And this panel, there's a panel with the following description that's happening at GDC. Now Xbox Live is about to get much bigger. Xbox Live is expanding from 400 million gaming devices and a reach to over 68 million active players to over 2 billion devices with the release of our new cross-platform SDK. That's the development kit. Get a first look at the SDK, software development kit, to enable game developers to connect players between iOS, Android, and Switch in addition to Xbox and any game in the Microsoft Store on Windows PCs. Xbox Live players are, this is sort of the summation of the panel here. Xbox Live players are highly engaged and active on Xbox and PC, but now they can take their gaming achievement history, their friends list, their clubs, and more with them to almost every screen. This will break down barriers for developers that want their communities to mingle more freely across platforms. Combined with PlayFab gaming services, this means less work for game developers and more time to focus on making games fun. Mm. Well, this is certainly a shot across the bow in Sony's direction, even if that's not why they do it. But, you know, Microsoft just doubling down on the ubiquity of gaming across devices.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a big deal to be able to, you're going to turn on your Switch and you're going to see Xbox.
It's going to be so weird.
Well, what's cool about that is if I'm playing Splatoon and I see you on Apex Legends and I'm like, oh cool, oh Mark's on, he's playing, I'm gonna maybe
you
turn
just
off
turn
my,
on yeah, Apex just Legends on your Switch and well, no,
not that,
no,
but
here's the next
I can
part.
Switch over to my yeah I can yeah. switch over to the Xbox but yeah,
so games
boy.
Are definitely not coming to it.
Yeah, don't expect games, but the sort of base layer of Xbox Live, the messaging, the friends lists, all that stuff,
You can now have access to all of that on your phone, on even on the Nintendo Switch. So it's basically just extending the tendrils of Xbox Live itself into other things. But it's, you know, this could be laying the groundwork for more later with the Project X Cloud stuff.
What about a game like Fortnite where you can play cross-platform?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, so I wonder if the utilization is going to be more apparent there, or a game like Minecraft. I don't know if Minecraft Switch players and Xbox players can play.
They can.
They can.
Yes, that is the one game.
That's really interesting because there are games that can utilize this, and you can play games on the platform of your choice with your Xbox friends now. Mm-hmm. So it's like bringing together communities, which I think is excellent. And anything that like breaks down barriers for gamers is a good thing.
Yeah, this is just phenomenal stuff. So look for that to be one of the there's going to be a big line out of the Moscone Center to try and get into that panel. I guarantee you that if you want to get in on that to see that panel, you're going to need to get there very, very early. I assure you. I've seen these things in person. Mm-hmm. I know how they can get. But that is a potentially just mammoth bit of news for the future of Xbox and Xbox Live. Speaking of the future of Xbox, E3 is less than 6 months away.
Excuse me?
Or it's 4 months away.
Sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
Dear.
Not listening.
Yeah. I got started on some projects for that already.
It's 4 months away, and it will be a big one, so saith Uncle Phil. Yes, Phil Spencer appearing on Major Nelson's podcast, and he said this is going to be a fun E3 for us. There was so much news about E3 in the fall, referring to when Sony announced that they would not be attending E3. I can explain that typo later. It's not you don't need to waste airtime with it. But so there was so much news about E3 in the fall. This is Phil, quote from Phil here. We had a discussion internally. Should we go big? Should we save some money? We decided no. We're going to do our thing, and we're going to go and be as big at E3 as we've ever been. I love that opportunity.
Should have did that with more oomph. We decided, no, we're going to do our thing, and we're going to go and be as big at E3 as we've ever been. And I love that opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, Destin, for it.
That's how he said it in the boardroom.
Now
what? I'll say, Destin clearly has never seen Phil Spencer speak before. Yeah.
Oh, not in the boardroom, but this is how I imagine it goes.
So you should shuffle those papers. And, yeah. All right, guys.
So he says... As for what we can expect from Xbox at E3, Spencer says, quote, I'm looking forward to this year. I think we're still going through some of the internal discussions about how much long-term versus how much near-term. We do talk about the content that we have will be great. We'll talk about our future. Well, if we had a stack of poker chips right here, I would push all my chips to the middle of the table. I think absolutely he will talk about Scarlet and Anaconda specifically.
Yeah, I think that this entire quote is just like inevitable. It's like, yes, of course you guys are going to make use of this opportunity. Like, yes, of course. But I mean, it's good to hear them say it, but I'm like, yes, we will be watching, guys.
It's one of those things where it's like when the Xbox and PS4 were announced in February and March of 2013, it was
February
kind of like,
and May.
Okay, so it was outside of the...
I got you back.
No, that's good.
It was out of like the E3 realm because you're competing for so much news space. And so it's like, while I think it would be crazy for them to announce their next console at E3, this is the E3 to do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I don't think they'll officially unveil it. I don't think they'll name it. I don't think they'll show a box. But I think they'll talk about it with some concrete detail, meaning I think they'll say, they might even say it's coming next year, meaning 2020. I think we might get a sort of kernel of truth about Scarlet, meaning I think he might say we're going to be doing 4K native on every game, standard, guaranteed, in the same way that 360 ushered in the HD era by making 720p HD mandatory on every single game. And I think we might get so much as not official gameplay footage, but I think we might get like a tech demo or sort of target, not a render, but like a just sort of a
a showcase of like, oh, here's Halo Infinite running on, here's like a thing you won't see in the final game, but like not unlike what the thing we got last year, but maybe running in real time on a
like a Death Stranding kind of bit where it's like, here's it's yeah. running in
just sort
in
of to engine, give you like a visual target chance. Of this is, you know, here's what you can expect from the next generation of Xbox gaming.
Halo Infinite would be a great choice, but do you think they'd be so bold to be like, here is Ninja Theory's new game running on?
I don't know. I mean, there's some word on the street that Ninja Theory has something for this year. So, which obviously, but I don't know if there's any truth to that. I mean,
or just any other new studios that they just acquired.
I think next year is probably the time for that. 2020 when they've officially announced the console, and then they just start firing all the guns from those new studios. But I think this year, I think they'll pick one thing. Maybe for all in front, maybe it's going to be Forza, because car games are always very pretty things. To say, okay, well, here's what you can expect from, but car game's the safe way to go. I would rather it be a Halo.
I expect them to be pretty. Like, I know what I'm going to get whenever you're going to show off a car game. Like, I just, you have set the precedent there. Show me something different.
Well, and it's like, you know Forza's coming. You know there's going to be a new Forza. You know there'll be a new Forza next year, Horizon 5 or whatever. It's like, yeah, it'd be great to be like, yeah. Don't make Forza your console seller. Make it Halo Infinite.
That's the thing. They kind of did that with they used Forza for the Xbox One, Forza 5, and it's not to say that was the wrong move. You know, there were there were a lot of moves we've been over a million times with that. But now I agree with you guys completely. Like, the car game is the safe way to go. Yeah. Like, show me a next gen. Non-car game experience.
Well, I feel like you want that moment that I'll call it the Death Stranding moment, where we're all in the war. I'm sorry. We're all in the war room, right? Like they show Forza going, right? And conversations are happening, and people are watching the trailer, and then. But if you guys remember the Death Stranding reveal, silence. Everybody's just watching to see what this is. Sure, but I mean, like, it's this beautiful thing being ran, and it's saying it's being ran on PS4, and you know it's not really the case, but it's like, I'd love for it to be like this, like this quiet moment where it's like, we're gonna show what these next games can look like, and I don't want that to just be a car game, because the second a car goes on, conversations start happening and people start talking.
To the Halo Infinite point of
I think it needs something like Halo. I think everyone is just gonna be like,
you remember in the teaser, the Slipspace engine teaser we got last year, the end of it was you just saw a helmet, a hand holding a helmet. Well, if they're gonna say if they do more this year and say, all right, here's what you can expect from the new Xbox, and that's when you could unveil the new, totally new Master Chief design in like real time rendering. So why Chief's the way I would go.
Yeah. Do they open with that, or do they close with that bong, that tone? Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. Cause last year was Cyberpunk. It was Cyberpunk, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
that was really
a big moment. Like, oh no, what's happening? And then I loved how they presented it, actually. Yeah. The
I say close, because then once we go live again with the post show,
you
always, the best moment is when everybody is just like, what did we just see?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
All right. It's okay. Who's crying? Yeah. It's me. Who's going to be it this year?
Me. That's it. Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. So Phil saying that we can expect some big stuff at E3. All right.
Uncle Phil.
Inside Xbox. Yes. Uncle Phil. Inside Xbox was today as we recorded, and we got a couple of new announcements. Not an earth-shattering thing here, but a thing that makes a lot of sense. Microsoft Game Studios. Mm-hmm. The collection of, you know, all the now 12 first-party studios. Microsoft calls it 13 with their global publishing team, but I don't think global publishing team makes games, so I'm going with 12.
That's what, hey, whatever. You do what you're going to do.
I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But they are rebranding to Xbox Game Studios.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
I like that.
Yep. Exactly right.
I like that. Microsoft, yes, we're aware you're owned by Microsoft, but this is Xbox. Let's talk Xbox.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got – It's 343, the Coalition, Compulsion, the Initiative, InXile, Mojang, Ninja Theory, Obsidian, Playground, Rare, Turn 10, and Undead Labs. That is a lot of first-party talent now.
Mm-hmm. It's great to see. And the head of studios, the head of Xbox Game Studios, Matt Booty, saying, quote, "As we've expanded our focus beyond the console, the Xbox brand has also evolved from its original roots. Today, Xbox is our gaming brand across all devices, no matter how or where you want to play or who you want to play with. In that spirit, I'm pleased to share that we are changing the name of our game development organization from Microsoft Studios to Xbox Game Studios." And some new Game Pass games on the way as well. Mark, what do we got in there?
We have Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
It's a new game.
Walking Dead Season 1.
That's a... If you didn't play that...
It's very old.
Yeah.
It's a backwards compatible 360 game.
Oh, you didn't finish season one?
I got spoiled, so I didn't care to finish it. I mean, it's like the most obvious things to happen.
Wow.
So just kind of like,
I'm not a Telltale boy.
If you never, I never
even finished the first episode.
The first season is the only one you need to play, in my opinion.
Okay.
It is the best, and it's possibly the most emotionally affecting game I've ever played.
Yeah.
Personally, just for me.
Me too.
Pumped BMX Pro.
Which I've never even heard of. I have to confess on that one.
Good workout.
Deblob.
Deblob is actually really good. A fantastic game. It's a colorless world, and you're a blob of color, and you can bring color back to the world. It's actually has a little bit of a special place in my heart.
Sounds like my everyday life.
I studied it in college.
Nice. Oh, it is nice. Really good, yeah. too. It's a good game.
Batman Return to Arkham, which is Asylum and City bundled together.
Yes.
Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which is the... It's like the
2013
60 frames version, because it was originally Xbox 360.
Yes.
And then of course, Crackdown 3 when it comes out, which makes Rise of the Tomb Raider already on there. So now it's the entire Ludington universe, that's what we call it, is now on Game Pass.
Which is cool.
Because those games are awesome.
Yeah. I still need to play more than... I'm only 2 hours into Shadow to keep going on it.
I had a lot of fun with it. I haven't completely finished it, but I got good time.
Collectibles hold you up?
Yeah.
Rise.
That's the problem with Rise.
It's hard to break,
man.
Right?
Like, there's so much to stop you from like progressing in that game.
Rise is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I I'm so happy to have voted for that for Game of the Year in 2015. Sad it didn't win, but it was a great game.
Yeah. I really like the first one, too.
And then you've got, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Crackdown 3 coming into Game Pass on its launch day.
It'll be here.
Next, whatever, Friday, I think that is. And then finally, from inside Xbox, they got a Friends Play Free thing in Sea of Thieves. So for the week, this is a quote from Microsoft, for the week between February 6th and the 13th, so that's starting tomorrow or maybe today as you're listening to this, everybody who owns Sea of Thieves or who has played it through a current Game Pass subscription will be able to invite up to 3 friends to try the game for free. If you'd like to share the gift of adventure, simply visit seaofthieves.com/friends-play-free. Grab your free codes and send them to your friends. It's quick and easy. Plus, anyone who redeems a Friends Play free code will receive a 35% discount when they buy the game digitally on Xbox or Windows for the rest of February. And then they tease something here too. To get players even more excited, we'll have big news to share on March 20th, the 1-year anniversary of Sea of Thieves. So stay tuned then for what's revealed.
Is this copied from a press release?
Yeah.
Love it. They'll receive a 35% discount when they buy Sea of Thieves, not if. I love it.
Hey, you gotta think positive.
No, I love Sea of Thieves. I think this is great. Like, Sea of Thieves is so different already from launch that it's like...
It's another game I want to get back into.
Yeah. I just put up a list of all the games that I'm responsible for keeping up for, either for work or just because I'm interested in them, plus other things I do. I'm just like, gosh, there's so much to play right now. Like, it's just crazy.
There's a lot.
Why is it so busy? Like,
what
it's
a time
great.
To be alive.
But, wow. I do want to go back to Sea of Thieves. I had so much fun in there.
Me too.
I'm going to check it out.
That night we played, just the two of us in the sloop and like through the storm, and our compass was spinning all over the place. And I was like, wait, no, go here, go this. That was such a great, I had such a great time. That was so much fun.
I have to do it again.
We will.
It was a work night, and we saw, rest in peace, Fran Mirabella playing. You know my rule. If they don't work here anymore. me and my wife had been playing like all day, and then he was like, oh yeah, you guys want to come play the game with us? And we stayed up till like 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And got up and went to work the next day. That's great. It's a good game.
a good time.
I always like it when they do these sort of like, you got some codes and I'll share them with your friends and invite them mm-hmm. to play. It's kind of like a nice excuse to get back in, especially if they're friends who are interested
yeah.
or maybe weren't. It's like, well, it's for free if you just want to check it out anyway. Yeah. It's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially 1 year later nice. With all the literally dozens of updates. That mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Good stuff. Finally this week, interesting news, 2K Games, they've started a new studio. Michael Condry, who was here a while ago. Condry is he was at Sledgehammer. He co-founded Sledgehammer as well as Visceral. We were talking about Dead Space earlier. Yep. So he has got a new studio for 2K. No name for it yet. It's just going to be here in Silicon Valley somewhere. But so if you're a fan of Dead Space and the Sledgehammer Call of Duty games, which was Advanced Warfare and World War II, mm-hmm. Connery's going to be cooking up something new. He says, great games come from the passion of a team driven by the pursuit of quality and the empowerment of an independent studio model. 2K studios have creative and technical autonomy backed by a world-class infrastructure of support and that offers the perfect recipe to build a new studio and craft experiences that will lead the next generation of gaming for fans everywhere. David Ismailer and the dedicated people at 2K and Take-Two have an extensive history of rich and established brands, as well as their long tenure of executive leadership committed to supporting the ambitions of their independent studio teams. Today's announcement represents a rare and special opportunity for developers to help build and shape a new Silicon Valley studio from the ground up. I couldn't be more excited or thankful to embark on this next step in my career. So, hey, love seeing a new studio, mm-hmm. Especially under one of the big publishers. You know, we don't get those every day.
New IPs.
New IP.
Scary Games, please. I want more Scary Games.
I was thinking, there's not that many. We got Resident Evil 2, and like everybody loves it. And it's like, yeah, I want to see more competition in that space. Yeah.
Well, I think it's totally like feasible too, because it's like you have Dead Space, mm-hmm. and then they go on to make, Advanced Warfare, but then World War II, and World War II Zombies mode was like the first time in a long time that Zombies mode was actually kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally in his wheelhouse. Little insight, but like Glenn Schofield not going with him?
I guess not.
It's a little strange.
Yeah.
It's fine. Well, we'll have to do everything together. But it would have been cool.
Yeah, I guess they've been together for a long time, but no longer, it seems. But so Connery was in here way back. If you look up Unlocked 163, either on iTunes or on YouTube, you just search Unlocked Michael Condry. He sat here with me, or actually it was in the old other crappy little room that we used to be in, and just told sort of his career life story, kind of the pre-unfiltered days. Mm-hmm. And he was like a marine something, I think it was a marine biology major, and talked about like summers in the Caribbean and having a really good time in the Caribbean. So
I got to spend like half a week sitting pretty much right next to Michael Condry. He's awesome. He's a character, and I like him a lot. He's great.
Yeah, so we will see what 2K and Condry cooks up over there. I'm sure whatever it is, it's not for Xbox One or PS4. It's for the future. So we shall see. All right, we're totally out of time. Let me save Loot Box for next time. Let's quickly do trivia. John from Des Moines, Iowa. What Hollywood music composer assisted in the main themes for Fable and Fable 2? I happen to know this. I'm a big Fable fan. I remember this from back in the day, but I wonder if you guys do too. Mark, your chance to get on the board. It's early in the year. So Hollywood music composer worked on the theme for the first two Fable games. Was it Harry Gregson-Williams, Hans Zimmer, Danny Elfman, or John Williams? Anybody know?
No, I'm going to go with Hans Zimmer just because back then he was doing a lot of video game stuff. He did Assassin's Creed. He did Call of Duty. So I'm going to go with Hans Zimmer.
Destin?
I'll go D, John Williams. Okay. I have no idea if I'm right.
Miranda?
I have no clue. I'm going to be different and go with C, Danny Elfman, which I don't think he would, but his style is kind of quirky, so I could see him being potentially interested in Fable.
Hmm.
But it's kind of a
Danny Elfman scored Batman and Batman Returns. Yeah. A lot of Tim Burton movies.
He's in a lot of, yeah.
And Miranda's thinking right on point. It was Danny Elfman.
I was just like, his style would fit Fable pretty well. So
for some reason, logic right there.
For some reason, I thought he was the guy that did all the Toy Story songs, and I was like, no, that's not him.
What?
Yeah,
that's Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Randy Newman.
Yeah. I was like, that wouldn't work in this game. But that was my original guess. I should have stuck with it. Yeah. Right.
All right. If you want to send us a trivia question, send it to unlocked@ign.com. I need a question for multiple choice answers and note the correct one in your email, please. And we'll play again next week. Brandon snowed in, missed out.
Nope.
He could have had that one.
It
so.
Was planned.
I didn't win him any points.
That's all right. Let's get out of here. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. No Unfiltered this month, sadly, because I got sick the day that my guest was here and they're from out of town. Few people have been asking me. It'll be back. I'm shooting one in February in Vegas, actually, at DICE coming
cool.
up. So it'll be a remote shoot. So it probably won't post until towards the end of February, but it will be back. Check out our Crackdown, Destin and I's Crackdown 3 coverage on IGN.
Well, it was mostly you, let's be honest. I did two Let's Plays with Ryan. You did all the work, dude.
That's you. Yeah, that's... You're part of the team.
All right.
It's all good. Destin?
Yeah. So normally I would use this time to talk about Twitch. I always stream on twitch.tv/TheDestinChannel. Yesterday, something happened yesterday that doesn't impact a lot of people on this show, but ScrewAttack.com shut down. It's a website where I kind of got my start. I was just making videos on the internet, making a new show. Nobody had really done that. They hired me. I did Hard News. I created The Armory. And that brand is gone. So... I guess I'll just take the time to thank anybody who watched me on that platform and the my friends who are still there for taking a chance on me and helping me get where I am today. And yeah, it means a lot. And just thank you to everybody.
Love it. Mark?
I love Screw Tech.
Follow that.
Follow me on Twitter @Mark_Medina. I'm not like there's nothing really to plug. Like there's just so much going on right now. It's basically fall already again. In the sense of just like every week there's Dan Stapleton's giving us new games and all this stuff. And there's so much going on. So nothing. There's just come to the website and watch all the stuff we're making.
Miranda, take us home.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @HavocGrowsOnHavocWithAK. Right now I am bouncing kind of off Anthem for just a little bit since the demo's done and moving over to Apex Legends to work on that guide. So I'm sure I'll be working on some other editorial stuff as well in the coming future. But for right now, I'm just very guides focused and trying to make sure that we get everything covered.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. This was Unlocked 380 and we'll see everybody next week.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.